You may be seated, and it's good to see everyone tonight, and we appreciate very much your being here. It's good to be back from the state of Louisiana. Audrey and I were there prior to moving to Palestine 43 years ago, and it was great to be back to see old friends and to preach and teach the Word of God. And I really appreciate Joe Waugh filling in this morning and teaching the combined adult classes here and also speaking during the morning worship hour. Now, Audrey and I just blew in just a few minutes ago, and we knew that we were going to be at the last minute getting here, but I assured her that we would make it on time. And but anyway, I'm glad that we did, and God gave us the safe arrival. And it was good to be with that congregation in Sulphur over the last 3 days. And we were the congregation in De Quincey, Louisiana, on Thursday night. And so it's been kind of a whirlwind trip for us, but it was a good one. We believe that God will bless our efforts as we have endeavored to serve Him and teach and proclaim the message of Jesus our Lord. You know, James prayed a moment ago for our country, and we all ought to be praying for our country, for the restoration of those great values and the morality that once embraced our land. And I couldn't help but think a moment ago about the lesson, really, that I had planned on speaking on tonight, taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. You know, ancient Israel had vacillated back and forth numerous times. They were like America. This isn't the only time that America has been in a departure from God. If you go back historically, you will remember that America has digressed from the truth and had departed from God many, many times. And I really believe over the last several years that departure has become evidence before our very eyes. But I really believe that through the prayers of faithful Christians and certainly the intervention of God Almighty, that there is a rebirth in our country. And I'm hoping and praying that God will continue to have His way in our lives. God is not going to force His will upon us, but He will invoke His will if we trust in Him. And if we turn to Him, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, I've said all that to say this, that back during the days of ancient Israel, the Bible tells us in the book of Joshua chapter 1, it was a time of uncertainty for Israel. As a matter of fact, Moses had just died and was buried on Mount Pisgah. Joshua had just taken the reins of leadership, and he was to lead the children of God into the promised land. But to whom was he going to turn? What would he tell the people? And where would he go, first of all? There must have been a million questions that penetrated his mind. And no doubt the minds of Israel as well. But then God begins to speak directly unto Joshua. And the words of God are these in Joshua 1, verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That must have been a heart-wrenching statement that pierced the ears of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I have given unto them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, he said, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers that I would give unto them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou must observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not away to the right nor to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to that which is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? He says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, many times in life, it is the attitude that really determines whether or not you and I in life are going to be the heroine or whether we are going to be the victim. I believe that God wants us to be the heroine. I really believe that God wants us to enjoy a measure of success in our life, like he said unto Joshua. You will remember what he said, if you keep the law of God and if you're courageous and if you submit unto my will, I will see that you will be successful in life. Ability, I've come to believe, is what you are capable of doing, and motivation determines what you do, and attitude determines how well you do it. God spake unto Joshua. Joshua was literally afraid. And so what would you say to a person who is afraid, who is given to a spirit of timidity? Would you not say unto that individual, God will give you strength? And he does. And that's the very thing that God conveyed unto this commander in chief now, Joshua. And he told him to go over against Jordan and claim it. Joshua was to observe the law and to keep it faithfully. But he tells him to be of good courage, be not afraid, and don't be dismayed, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. You know, I believe that there are three things that you and I need to recognize from this particular passage. I think it is something that God was trying to get across to Joshua, but I believe in reality and principle, it is something that God is trying to get across to you and to me. I believe the first thing that God is trying to convey unto Joshua is that we all ought to adopt an aplomb. Now, you may think in your mind, what in the world are you talking about? The word aplomb, this simply signifies a great amount of self-confidence. You know, as God's children, sometimes we're so terrorized and we're so afraid of other people when we preach the gospel. It really bothers me when I see preachers who are afraid to stand up and really tell the truth and tell it like it really is. God has promised to be with us when we do that. And when Paul wrote unto Timothy and said, preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, he didn't conclude by saying, if it's convenient for you or if you're not afraid to do so. You and I need to be people that adopt an aplomb. That is confidence, and not so much the confidence in ourselves, but the confidence that we have from God himself. Isn't that really what God says to Joshua? You be strong. Many people are like Moses when God called upon him. I'm slow of speech, God. Can't use me. But not Joshua. And even though all those things were going through his mind, courage was something that he needed in the face of his enemies. And strength is what he needed to motivate his friend. And I'm going to tell you something. If there is anything in this world that you and I as God's people need tonight, it is courage and it is strength. He would need both to be successful. God says, I want you to have a measure of success. But in order for him to be successful in the leading of the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, that is the land of promise, he would need courage. And he would need strength to motivate God's children. Courage is to be brave. That's really what it is, isn't it? But it is also to be emboldened. It is to be bold in adverse circumstances. You know, I've seen a lot of people who talk boldness and talk courage and talk strength and all those kinds of things as long as things are going well. But when things are not going so well and when we are facing the adversary and when those problems come in life, sometimes we move away from that aplomb that we were to develop. We lose self-confidence. We need to be bold. We need to be brave. And we need to be courageous and to speak the truth in the face of whatever the opposition might be. You see, Hebrews 13 and verse 6 tells us that we can be courageous when we know that the Lord is our helper. Paul says, because the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. I'm going to tell you, the greatest help you have tonight comes from God. It does. We also need strength as Christians to live faithfully and encourage our brethren. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, after Paul had given a litany of things here that we call the Christian armor, that we are to adorn ourselves with, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, and other attire, spiritually speaking. Paul then says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is one thing to adorn ourselves with equipment, but it is another thing to use it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Putting on the whole armor of God, as a matter of fact, enables us to be strong. It was because of putting on and adorning the whole armor of God and praying with all power and supplication before God that Paul could say to the Philippian church in the 4th chapter and verse 13 that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But not only should we develop that aplomb, that confidence in God, but there's another thing that you and I need to know. If you're really going to be successful as a Christian, you have to avoid anxiety. You know, sometimes we don't try to avoid it. We welcome it almost. We find ourselves in a situation where we surround ourselves with it. And many times the anxiety that we have in our life comes from our own undoing. What is anxiety anyway? People are anxious in life about a lot of things. If I were to ask you tonight, are you anxious about certain things? And probably every one of you tonight could tell me something specifically that you are anxious about. The word anxiety is worrying about things over which we have no control. And I'm going to tell you something. It is counter to what God said unto Joshua. Listen. Anxiety will lead to your defeat. It leads to fear and dismay. And God says unto Joshua, have courage and have strength, and do not be dismayed. Don't lose heart. God told Joshua not to fear. When we have that kind of fear, we will fail to act. And God knew that. And that's why he goes to reassure Joshua now. To be dismayed is to be like a deer looking in the headlights of an automobile. It is true. You know, I've often wondered what really goes through the mind of a deer. You know, have you ever been driving down the road and you had your lights on and all of a sudden you saw that deer and that deer is looking right at you? Now, I know that many of you have been out on the deer stand looking for deer. But I don't look for them on the highway. I hit a deer one time on a highway, 8-point buck. It wasn't a very pleasant sight. I don't know what went through his mind, but I know what went through mine. And it wasn't very pleasant either. But when we talk about dismay, we're talking about, in reality, and I think it's a pretty good analogy, it's like that deer that's standing on the side of the road, not knowing what is going to happen. He is just afraid, and in his fear, he jumps into the face of trouble. And really, instead of thinking pragmatically, sometimes we do foolish things. And when we have such an attitude, we will be overcome and we will fail. Jesus said unto us, don't you be anxious about food or clothing or shelter. But instead, listen to what he says in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. Don't be anxious. Your heavenly Father, if he feeds the birds of the heaven, he's going to take care of you. Oh, you of little faith. Now, Paul said it this way in the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians in verse 6. He says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hebrews 13 and verse 6 says, so that with good courage we can say that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, I think about all those apostles. There was another beheading, by the way, by ISIS today. You probably saw that on television. And we look at that and we say that was a horrendous thing. It was an awful, tragic thing, and it really is. I don't know what went through the mind of that young man. But I'm persuaded, according to Holy Writ, what went through the mind of James when he was beheaded. And when Peter was crucified upside down. And when Matthew historically was drugged through the streets of Jerusalem. They didn't deny the faith. Perhaps they said in their mind, with Paul in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 6. So, with good courage, I can say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know whatever happens to us in this life? And whenever it happens, we know that we're going to a better place. We are. Sometimes it's hard for us to really grasp that in our mind's eye. We talk a good story, but I'm telling you, folks, we are. As Christian people, and we should not be afraid. In 1 Peter 3 and 14, Peter writes, but even if ye should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye, and fear not, he says, and neither be troubled. I like 1 John 4 and verse 18 that says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. Now listen to this, folks. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. But then there's one last thought, and I'm going to hurry with this. I see that we're running behind, and I've been told several times that Joe Waugh let you out early this morning. I'm just making up for lost time. Develop the aplomb. Avoid anxiety, but accept assurance. You know what God did for Joshua? He assured him. You know, I like to be around people that assure me and encourage me. God said that he would be with Joshua wherever you go. I will be with you. Now, isn't that great assurance for us as well? Because God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you wherever you go. What a great assurance knowing that God is on our side. The Creator and the Ruler of the universe, the All-Powerful One, He is here and He is present even with me tonight. And Jesus gave His disciples that same assurance. When He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He didn't do it without giving them assurance, for He said at the end of that passage, you will remember, for lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28 and verse 20. He promised to be with them till the end, and I'm telling you, Christ says that to us tonight as well. And Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and you have seen in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, isn't that true? Sometimes when we're not doing what God asks us to do, hey, we don't really have peace in our soul. We have guilt in our soul. But when we're doing what God asks us to do, there's a great peace that envelops us, isn't it? It is true. He wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 6 that one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We need to accept God's assurance that He is with us. And we need to get busy doing His will regardless of what happens in our life. I hope tonight that God will reassure you. He has me. And you know, every time that every day, and I mean this every day, I feel that assurance of God. That's why I can be confident. That's why I can develop a spiritual aplomb. I try to avoid anxiety, and I endeavor to accept the assurance that I have in Christ, and I really believe it's something that all of us ought to do. I hope it's something you think about tonight, and we're going to sing a song of encouragement that David has selected, and perhaps maybe if you feel deficient in these areas and you have problems going on in your life, wouldn't it be a good time right now to seek the prayers of God's people? And, you know, I know Joshua did that many, many times, and I believe it's a good thing for God's people as well to seek that assurance, to have that confidence through Christ our Lord. If you're here and you're not a Christian, the plan of Jesus is very simple. As I proclaim to the church and Sulphur, that plan has not changed. And redemption comes through our submission unto Christ and our obedience to His gospel by being baptized for the remission of sins. It's true. It was true then. It's true tonight. And it can be true for you if you'll respond to Him while we stand and while we sing.